Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining me this week on Tia Time. We'll get to the show in just a moment. First, I wanted to say thank you to all of you who have posted a rating on Apple Podcast. Apple Podcast is an app that can be downloaded to your phone or computer. The algorithm it uses allows more artists and art enthusiasts like yourselves to hear about the show. So if you haven't posted a rating yet, do it now. Thank you. On with the show. Welcome to Tia Time with Artists, the weekly podcast where we discuss the methods, challenges, and real-life experiences of living our creative dreams. What kind of creative warrior are you? Musician, filmmaker, painter, choreographer, poet, sculptor, fashionista? Let's talk about it right now. I'm your host, Tia Imani Hanna. This week's guest on Tia Time for Artists is Richard Turbin. And he is the owner, operator, creator, originator, original thought king, man of mystery, and artistic intelligence behind the Windwalker Gallery in Charlotte, Michigan. And welcome to Tia Time with Artist Richard.
Thank you for welcoming me. I appreciate being here, Tia.
I'm so glad that you were able to come. So how did Windwalker come about? What was the starting spark for you?
The starting spark actually was probably, it started in the early 70s. I became really immersed in art itself in general and appreciating art and exploring art. And I carried that with me till today, but in the early 90s, I was working with Motorola, and I handled their two-way radio communications, which entailed me working with the local police department in Charlotte. I took care of all the two-way radios that were in the police cars for the city and also for the county. And I did that for a couple of years, and I was at a point, I was 48 years old, and I was at a point where I was really disillusioned with the vocational world, per se, and working for the man, as they say, and doing the 70, 80 hour work weeks to be able to provide a good income. And I was working with the police department, and in the process of that, I had made friends with the local building inspector in the city of Charlotte. And he knew that I had a love for all buildings old and for historical buildings. And he mentioned to me that there was a building in downtown Charlotte, in the middle of downtown Charlotte, that basically had been fallen into an extreme state of disrepair. And it was an 18,000 square foot, three-story building. And it was originally built in 1858. And it was the Odd Fellows Lodge, which was a fraternal organization, not unlike the Masons. And the building had been, all the windows had been boarded up, and it had fallen into an extreme state of disrepair. And actually, there were people within the community that could have actually had the building for virtually nothing. And this friend of mine, Leroy, who was the building inspector, and said, "Richard, I just want to show you this building because I know that you love all things historical." So he gave me a tour of the building. And of course, the windows were all boarded out, so it was pitch dark in the building, and we really couldn't see anything. But I became interested because it was an 18,000 square foot building in the middle of downtown. And it was in the process of being auctioned off for back tax. And Leroy thought that this might be something that I might be interested in. I looked at the building, but like I said, we couldn't really see anything. But I knew that from his explaining to me the situation and the status of the building, that it was going to be sold at auction within the next week, and literally the next week. So if I had any interest in that building, in this building, I needed to make a decision in 5 days. But one of the things that really piqued my interest, in addition to the historical nature of the building, but it was going up for sale at auction for back taxes. Mm-hmm. And the back taxes for the 12,000 square feet were actually $1,250. So Based on that, I went, "Oh my goodness, this is something I really need to investigate," because there was another first floor with another 3,000 square feet. So that was giving me the opportunity to potentially purchase 15,000 square feet of downtown Charlotte. And with that being said, I went to the auction and waited for the parcel to come up through the auctioneer.
So you were really just thinking investments, really. You were just thinking investment at the time.
Well, I was thinking that how could I potentially turn down 18,000 square feet of downtown Charlotte of the initial opening bid for the whole building was $1,250.
You do it. It's a too big of a deal, right? Too big of a bargain.
So I said, I need to take a look at this. And so to the auction. And when the parcel came up, the auctioneer asked for an opening bid and no one raised their hand. And so I'm sitting there and I'm waiting and saying, my goodness, I better hurry up and open the bidding on this, because if I don't, he's going to move on to another parcel and this opportunity will. So I put up my hand and I was the only hand that went up. So very shortly thereafter, I purchased a 12,000 square feet of downtown Charlotte for $1,250. And it was like, okay, now what do I do?
Right now.
Yeah. So with that being said, I bought the building, and like I said, there's 6 windows across the front of the building that are 10 feet tall. And then there was another 6 windows across the back of the building that were 10 feet tall. And those windows were all boarded up with plywood that had been covered for 40, 50 years. So the first thing I did was start pulling the plywood off the windows so I could let light come in the building. And then as the light came in the building, I discovered because I was taking the windows off of the very front of the building on Main Street. And as I pulled these 10-foot sections of the plywood off of the windows, all of a sudden the light came through. And here I am standing in the middle of a ballroom that's 2,500 square feet in circumference and size, with tin ceilings that were all rusted and the flooring was just terrible. And the whole building was just a disaster, but it had so much history to it. And the floor that I was actually standing on in this ballroom was a maple flooring that the history, people were dancing on this floor in the 1850s and 1860s. And I was just overwhelmed with the aura and the nostalgia. And I could literally see people dancing on this floor back in the 1800s. And I'm reveling in the fact that I'm standing in the middle of the biggest ballroom in Eaton County that had been shuttered for 40 some years. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, I said to myself, I did have a vision. And that vision was that with this space, with all of this space, it would give me the opportunity to completely create a dream. And part of that dream, it was all about creating spaces and apartments for creatives, artists of all different genres and so forth, where I could create apartments for each individual artist, and also be able to develop the rest of the building. And what I wanted to do was to be able to create space for people to be able to follow their dreams, because I think by nature, Tia, that my purpose was a facilitator, and always has been a facilitator. And I could see where I could facilitate a space for creatives to be able to live. And then I could create everything from music space to art space to galleries and provide shelter for creatives to be able to cohabitate and share knowledge, share their dreams, share their sorrows, share everything. So that was my initial thinking.
But this started when did this start? Do you think this fantasy of the creation. Like, at this point, it was still like not real, other than you had the space. And exactly. The dream was real, but the rest of it was like, how do we get it there? So what, along a timeline, where was this in?
I started this in 1993.
Okay.
So I've been, and I'm still working on this building today, and it's 28 years later.
Uh-huh. But and a lot farther along.
It's like today, in 1993, the concept of loft apartments with brick walls was pretty much non-existent. Not many people were buying old buildings and hammering plaster off the walls and creating brick lofts and downtown living spaces. It certainly wasn't happening here.
Right.
And but I thought that once I got to the point where I could develop several apartments, and I do have now 6 apartments in the building, that once I got to that point where I could generate enough revenue in rent at a reduced rate too, by the way, which is a little bit off market value, so artists could afford to live here, that I could generate enough income to completely continue on with my vision. And as time had progressed, things change, we change, ideas change, and some stay the same. Initially, I thought that my dream would be looking at a more of a mature situation as far as grown-up adults, adult artists. And then as time went on, like I said, things changed, and I became much more interested in what is really important to me and what do I see my part being within this community as far as what can I contribute to this community. Mm-hmm. And what I came to realize was that my best opportunity to create and enhance the community was to focus on the children of the community.
Okay.
Because I know that by doing that, that a lot of the small communities, kids grow up and they move away because there's no reason for them to retain and stay in that community. They're desiring to go someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, off I went and hammering and pounding. It's like in this building, the first year and a half, literally the first year and a half, I spent hammering plaster off brick throughout this entire building. And that took a year and a half to do. And in the process of that, I removed over 75,000 pounds of plaster, nothing but plaster, in big dumpsters and chutes out of the back of the building with plaster going down chutes into dumpsters and dust going down through the whole main street of downtown. And I was upsetting a bunch of the business owners because they didn't have a clue what this old hippie was up to. And I didn't really have time to explain to them what I was up to. I had way too much work to do.
Sure.
But one of the things that was so beneficial was the fact that when I was working with Motorola and working with all the city fathers within our downtown, I became very close friends with, you know, everyone from the chief of police to the mayor, to the, you know, city manager, to the building, you know, to the building inspector and so forth. And on top of that, I was taking a building that was in a state where no one wanted it. So the city gave me basically an open palette and an open slate to do whatever I wanted to do with the building. And so I just started hammering and pounding and keeping on going. And it was a matter of 1 week, it would be, should I buy drywall or should I buy groceries? and oftentimes it has been a huge journey and a huge labor of love. But now I'm at a point where 27 years later, we have 6 apartments that are all full, and we have an art gallery and we have music space, and we're able to, and the income that's generated from the rent within in the apartments covers operating expense for the entire building, which in turn allowed me to be able to, 5 years ago, start a nonprofit.
Okay.
And within that nonprofit, that also put me in position to be able to try to seek donations. contributions to help further my dream and help people realize within the community what my dream exactly was and go from there.
That's all very commendable. And you did a heck of a lot of work. Now, did you all of this alone, or did you incorporate some members of the community to help you with any of this, or how did that go?
Quite honestly, Tia, it was pretty much a one-man band.
Okay.
And the times that things that I needed that were, you would traditionally have to have permits for electrical and plumbing and so forth, because when I bought the building, there was no plumbing. Mm-hmm. There was no electricity. There was no heat.
Mm.
And it was a complete starting. It's like when you think about remodeling a 2,000 square foot house or something of that nature, that's a pretty major undertaking. But I never really stopped to realize that we're talking about 18,000 square feet, which would be the equivalent of 3,000 square foot homes that I had to literally gut all the way back to the start over. So it was quite a lengthy process. And I really afford to hire a crew to come in and do the work. So I just basically did it all myself, with the exception of what items I'd have to do to follow state code and things of that nature.
Wow. And what vision you had on this, because you saw it through and you've got it going now to the point where you do have a nonprofit and you do have a board of directors and you do have people working with you. Like, I know you have, before COVID anyhow, you had open mics happening. Dale Dixon, I think, was running the open mics?
Yes, Dale Dixon, who's a very talented musician, mm-hmm. who was born in Kentucky and plays all different types of music. And he handles our open mic and our music events. And then we have another fellow by the name of Clint Dickerson, who is our music director, and he's our music teacher. We have music programs for children where we offer free music lessons for the children of our community. And just recently, one of our other board members, Aaron Wanch, became involved as a volunteer. And the way that happened is that she brought her son Logan here for music lessons, for guitar lessons, which were given by Clint. And she would sit and watch her son take lessons. And then she'd sit around and she'd look around and she'd say, oh my God, these guys need help. And so she offered to be a volunteer. And within a 6-month period of time, not only was she a volunteer helping with keeping the gallery open, but she also offered to become a board member on our board. And then she came up with an idea for art for the children. And we started a fundraiser to raise money for art supplies for our artist closet. And it's a creative art closet where now we're sitting in a situation where through fundraising, we've been able to generate almost $6,000-$7,000 worth of art supplies.
Oh, great.
So we're right. Yes, it's amazing. And we're so excited about that because we're in a situation right now where we're ready to get this off of the ground. We have a couple, two or three art volunteers or art teachers that are volunteering to teach art to the children. And that's when I'm backing up to my comment about where I really discovered that my true passion and my true dream and my true vision as to what I could contribute best was for the children of the community. So that's where, at this juncture, we're offering free music lessons for the children, free art lessons for the children. And we even, at the end of the music lessons, we will have recitals. Mm-hmm. And where I really came to the moment of realization that this was the direction that I needed to go, was that we were doing a recital about a year and a half ago for the children. And they were up on the stage and they were doing a music recital from all of the guitar lessons that they had. And I was sitting on a stool right next to the stage where I could see the kids. And then I could look out into the audience and see the parents and the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles. And all of a sudden I'm looking at the joy that the children were having. I was looking at the tears of the parents and the grandparents and the joy that they were experiencing realizing that their children were accomplishing something that they could never really dream of. And I'm an observer of all things. I've always tried to walk with my eyes wide open. And in that moment, when I could see those parents, and we had a full house, and we had 60, 70 people in the audience, and there was a lot of open mics where we may have 5 people or 10 people or whatever. But when I could see the joy that it was bringing, I said, oh my goodness, this is where I need to go. This is my dream. And it took actually, mostly finished the physical work within the building, 20 some years later, I realized and came to the realization of what my real purpose was. And that purpose is to provide an opportunity for the children. And I think that is something that has warmed my heart and soul.
I know you've provided quite a few occasions for the community to gather and to experience live music, as well as different artists and photographers and sculptors and painters. And you have several walls where there's art always hanging that's there for sale in the gallery. So you've helped a lot of artists place their work. You've helped a lot of musicians have a stage to go to. And I know you were working with Michigan ArtShare for a couple of years with the cross cultural, I forget the name of the program, where it was like different parts of the city, like people from, it's the urban and the rural conversation.
Urban rural connection, yes.
Yes, and artists coming from the city of Detroit and coming up to Charlotte and vice versa. And
that connection where started about 10 years ago, or give or take, when I had the opportunity to meet Diane Wilson with Michigan ArtShare in Riotown in Lansing. And we connected. And since that point in time, we've tried to collaborate as best as we can from a distance. And we've had the opportunity to bring Detroit artists to a small town, Detroit musicians to a small town, to be able to expose people to expose some of the musicians from Detroit that had never really been outside of Detroit as far as coming into a small rural country town, so to speak, that had a little main street where people had never really had that opportunity. And so that collaboration hopefully will continue for many years to come, but it's had a huge impact on the development of Windwalker. So I truly have enjoyed some of the artists that have come from Detroit. Some of our local artists have the ability, you know, to show and sell their work here. And there again, we don't, you know, like a lot of the galleries that are out there today, if an artist brings his work in, that gallery is going to have to charge 40, 50% commission to be able to afford to show that artist's work. Well, that makes it very difficult for the artist to be able to sell their work. But one of the advantages of being a nonprofit is that the most that we charge is like 20 to 25%. Mm-hmm. So that gives that artist an opportunity to sell work, and we continue to do that. And just speaking in the moment, I got some really exciting news today about one of the musicians that has played here in on our stage on many different occasions. Mm-hmm. And just this afternoon, his name is Billy Strings. And just this afternoon, he won a Grammy for the best bluegrass music.
Oh, wow.
For the best bluegrass album of the year. He's literally won a Grammy.
That's fantastic.
Which is absolutely amazing. And his father has played here. His mom has been here. And then on another occasion, just in this little country town of Charlotte, we were able to have Peter Carey, the Phantom of the Opera, perform on our stage twice in 2 different years. And so it's been an incredible experience, and it continues to be. And we continue to morph and evolve. And I keep going back to the children because I know that's where our future is, where all of our futures are. is the children, because those children are going to grow up and they're going to become adults. And if I can create a space, which I have done, that has taken the children and given them an interest within the building and being in awe of the creations, whether it be architectural or whether it be visual artwork and so forth, and get them excited and come in the summertime, for example. It's not uncommon for me to have a 10 or 11 year old come in on his own or her own, and I'll let them roam around the building. I'll give them the freedom to explore, and they will be in awe. And then all of a sudden I'll look up maybe a week later and I'll see that child coming back into the building with their mom and dad in tow.
Sure.
Now, if you can have an impact on a child, you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I know. Oh. I remember playing at your place several years ago before you had a stage. I remember Craig Mitchell Smith helped several people design a glass sculpture light fixture that's up in your building. That's pretty amazing. And he's a world-renowned glass artist.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Craig Mitchell Smith, as we know, and if anyone out there that's listening, please Google Craig Mitchell Smith's glasswork. He is at this juncture, a world famous glass artist. And what we did was we did a collaboration, we being the artist in residence here in the building, and myself and Craig, we created a 17-foot long dream catcher, which is made of metal and glass. And in the middle of the building, there's a skylight that shoots straight up through the building, through the second floor, the third floor, and the roof. And we have this sculpture hanging from that skylight that goes down 17 feet. There's a lot of amazing things to see within this building. And quite honestly, it's a destination. It's a building that can take, or a family can take, a road trip and come visit. And I realize right now things are tough with the COVID, but soon we'll be open again, and we'll be able to continue on having people be able to explore everything that Windwalker has to offer.
Now, you also got in the summer, sometimes I think in the summer and the fall, you've had a couple of outdoor festivals, and maybe some of those might be able to go off this year because that'll be later in the season. I know you've had Flames and Dames have come before, right? To do fire flows.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, Nat Spins did her first performance with a hoop on our stage. And this was 4 years ago. And come next Friday night on March 19th, she will be doing a fire flow performance along with flow artists in our parking lot behind our building. And she's scheduled one a month. Mm-hmm. Every month through September. And in addition to that, we're doing outside open mics on the same night that she's performing the fire flow. Okay. So on any Friday night, COVID or not, as soon as the weather warms up, if a person follows Nat Spins Flame and Dames, and they can actually come on a Friday night for free and socially distance in a very large parking lot and watch Nat and her fire hoopers do all sorts of crazy things with hula hoops and dragon spears, and they're all on fire. And oh my goodness, it's an amazing thing to see. And whether you're 8 or 80, it's an experience. So it truly is. And I don't think you've had an opportunity. Maybe you have. I've actually had them.
It's wonderful. I actually had them on the show not too long ago. So yeah, they're wonderful. I saw them, I think, one of the first times that you had them at the parking lot. So it's really worth going to see. Really worth going to see. And I will come and see them again. Yeah, fantastic. Now, the city's been really good about that, too. No, isn't that usually a thing with the fire and all of that, that they have to have certain ordinances or something? Has the city of Charlotte been really good with that?
Exactly. The city does require that we take certain fire precautions, of course. And we have everything is done in a very safe fashion. And we have people that are designated watchers that have the ability to, if something were to happen, which would be nothing to this point, has happened, but the precautions are taken for the safety of the people that are doing the fire, the flame throwing and such, and spinning and hooping. But one of the things that I must mention is that the city of Charlotte, the city fathers, they have taken the attitude with myself in this building. And I think part of it dates back to the fact that I took on something that the city, quite honestly, didn't know what to do with. Here's a building in the middle of the main street. It's not like they could just tear it down. Mm-hmm. And so they've allowed me so much space and given me the freedom to develop this building in pretty much any fashion that I chose to do. A case in point is that I have reached out over the years. I've reached out to a couple of Detroit's muralists, wall muralists, one of them by the name of Kobe Solomon, who is quite well known within Detroit and nationally. Another one by the name of Malt II. And I literally contracted with them to come up to the building and paint murals on the building, all around the whole backside of the building in Main Street downtown. And I've got to tell you, Tia, when I spoke with our city manager and our city director, our city programming person, and his name is Brian. And I said, Brian, I've got this idea where I really want to do murals. I want to really have murals painted on the building. Who do I have to see to be able to do that? Mm-hmm. And Brian says, Richard, he says, let me ask you this. I said, what's that, Brian? And he said, who owns the building? And I said, I do. And he said, there you have your answer. And from that point on, we have murals. Mm-hmm. The only thing that he asked was for me to be respectful of the type of murals that were painted on the building. But that's the attitude that the city has taken over all of these years with me and my dreams and my ventures with this building. It's they constantly looked at for every reason to say yes, as opposed to every reason to say no.
Now, have there been some other moments when you found things that you didn't expect to go a certain way because you think, oh, they won't go for that? And then the city's been like, oh, that's great. Has there been any other situations that have surprised you in that way with the city?
From the standpoint of anything slanted toward the negative, absolutely not. One of the visions that I had was let's put on a poetry contest. And with that poetry contest, we went to the city and we'll select two poets and the poetry that they write. And then what we will do is we will contract a company that can literally has a little saw of a thing where they can actually engrave in the sidewalk. Hmm. Where they can engrave the poetry within the sidewalk. We ended up having the contest and we selected two poets. And then we contracted a fellow to come in and engrave these poems within the sidewalk. And then once they did that, then they painted within the grooves black so the poetry would really show up. We have one in front of Windwalker. And then that is engraved in the sidewalk for posterity. And we have another one that's over at the Charlotte Performing Arts Center, which is over by the high school, next to our high school, which is a very beautiful auditorium that seats around 1,000 people. It's just been such a fun adventure and continues to be such a fun adventure because we're only limited by our imagination and how far we're willing to go, because it's nothing is really impossible. Impossibility is an illusion. And so that's one of the reasons why I've had so much fun, is because around every corner is a new dream and a new adventure.
Now, have there been things that have happened in the sense of ideas that weren't in the vision that showed up and you were really surprised by in your initial vision, but that showed up and that really, oh, you never thought of that.
Oh my goodness.
Like tons of those or?
Oh, tons. It's like, it's every day is a new day and every day is a new adventure. And I'm not trying to sound trite or anything like that, but it's really true. It's really true. And, you know, and so many people have contributed with ideas and jumped on board with, let's do this. Have you thought about doing that? A couple of years ago, for example, and this has been done around this, so this wasn't any original idea that I had, but it was something that I took advantage of, where, for example, we old pianos, for example, a lot of communities and some communities have put pianos around towns and set them on sidewalks where, you know, where the people can come in, children or adults, and they're just sitting there and they can play them anytime they want. We got the pianos. And then what we did was we got a hold of the middle school and the elementary school and got the kids involved and allowed them to paint the pianos with all sorts of different colors and designs and so forth. And we put those on the sidewalk for kids to be able to play. So it just, it's like I say, we're only limited by our imagination. And the involvement that's happened has been incredible. And one of the things that I think has been really beneficial for Windwalker and myself is that once I came to this realization of the children and started moving in that direction, is when I really discovered that I was gaining, all of a sudden I was gaining a whole lot more interest within the community as to what I was up to and what I was doing, as opposed to when I was targeting the older group. And I was targeting the wrong market completely.
Sure, sure. And you don't know until you try.
Exactly.
You just don't know. No, that's great. Are schools being more involved in the projects, or just the students that are in the neighborhood, or just people are coming by? You're getting foot traffic in there. Like you said, kids just coming by on the weekends that happen to run through and bring their parents later. Is it more of that kind of thing?
Well, what's happening now, Tia, is that the elementary students are getting involved. The middle school students are getting involved. Olivet College, for example, which is 10 miles down the road, I reached out to them last summer and director of Olivet College because I wanted to do an art show for their art department. And that came over with astounding success. We had about 100 works from their artists at the Olivet College that we did a whole month-long art show with Olivet College. And we're going to do that again, hopefully this summer. We'll be doing it on an annual base. But I'm really excited to see where we go with this art school with the children, because like I said, we're offering free art supplies and also free instruction with no limitations. Obviously, if the small children are coming in, they need to be supervised with an adult, because I can't run an art school for 8-year-olds and come out.
So do you have funding for that too, as far as helping pay your teachers and things?
I'm really glad you asked that, because for so many years it's been pretty much self-funded, where I've actually funded it through the income from that the building is generated, and that's covered the expenses. But just in this last year, and Michigan Art Share has reached out and helped fund several different little get-togethers that we've had with events, and brought musicians up from Detroit and artists up from Detroit also. So I certainly have to give a shout out to Michigan Art Share, because they've been very helpful. But what's been happening just in the last 2 months, we reached out to the community on Facebook for art supplies, for money and to try to raise funds for art supplies for the children. And that was a resounding success, where we raised over $4,000 to purchase art supplies. And then we reached out to the community foundation for video equipment, so we could purchase video equipment so we can do videography of the musicians and the children on the stage, and also when we do open mics. And they gave us, and the community foundation gave us a small grant. And then 30 days later from that, there's another group within the community, which is really an amazing group of people. And it's a wonderful idea. It's a group of about 50 to 60 women that meet quarterly, and their purpose is to help nonprofits. And what they do is only nonprofits are can be potential benefactors of this women's giving group. And what they do is, if you have a nonprofit and if you have a vision or something that you're trying to accomplish, you write down the name of your nonprofit on a little slip of paper and you put it in a jar. And then when they have their quarterly meeting, they pull out three pieces of paper with three different names of three different nonprofits. And then each person that's representing this nonprofit has between 5 and 7 minutes. That's it, 5 and 7 minutes to present what they're trying to do.
Okay.
And three or four weeks ago, our name was pulled out of the jar for the second time. You can only do it once a year. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we were looking for was some additional funding to purchase guitars and ukuleles for our children's music school. Mm-hmm. And then they decide, of all of the three different nonprofits, they decide which one that they think would they want to benefit. And they all vote. And the nonprofit that gets the most votes receives the benefit. And what the benefit is, each one of the women write a check for $50.
Hmm.
So just 2 weeks ago, we received a check for $2,375.
Amazing.
Which enabled, yes, it is. It is absolutely amazing. And that enabled us to purchase 6 brand new guitars for children. And it also enabled us to have the money to purchase 4 ukuleles for children. And it also left us $900, which we could put over into the children's art fund for chalk, so we can do a chalk event for kids all over the downtown area, where we're going to send the kids out and have them chalk the city.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, and I'm sure to annoy me, you can tell in my voice the joy and the excitement that I have.
Much.
especially in regard to the children, because I just it's a dream come true. It truly is. And the support that we are generating since I've been focusing on children has just been incredible. And the support that we're getting and the volunteering that we're getting, like with Erin, she's just been such a huge asset to our nonprofit. And then taking on the responsibilities. And she's a full-time mom, and she's been through COVID and homeschooling her 2 children and still finding time to work with our nonprofit and maintain the secretarial role and be the instigator and the person that's really the backbone of our creative closet. So I can't say enough about how things are moving in a positive direction, which is really extra special right now, because as we and I know, we've been pretty much in isolation for the last year. And in this last year, actually more positive things have happened internally than any other previous year before.
Yeah, you hit the right tone, and you're working with the right group of people, and you're helping the right group of people. So it's all coming together and it's running. So that's really exciting news, and I'm glad to hear it, because I know a lot of trials have happened over the years to get it to where it is now. So I'm really proud of you and really grateful that you're out there doing that for the community and being an example to all of us to keep making things happen. So I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being present in our lives and for all the things that you do.
You can't do it alone. So it's great to see people who are just trying to make the world a better place by making art happen.
And that's exactly, it is. It's all about being creative in all the different ways that creativity can manifest itself. And whether it be Craig Mitchell Smith's Incredible Glass, or whether it be Nat Spinn's Hooping with Fire and Flames, and so many other different unusual things that you just don't think about. And then all of a sudden it like shows itself. And if you give that person an opportunity and the space to be able to create and let them go, it's like giving a painter a blank palette and saying, here's your palette. You create what you want to create. And that is so important to be able to give that space. Years ago, in one of the rooms on our, in our building on the second floor is a photography studio, which has a 70-foot long, 12-foot high mural, which is actually a trompe-l'oeil, a sculpture that was chiseled through the plaster to the brick, carrying the third and fourth dimension of Renaissance artwork that was, and I think you've seen that sculpture. Mm-hmm. And it was done in 1994, 1995. And we didn't, that, and we were doing it. And the reason why we were doing it in the room we were doing it in is because that was the only room in the whole building that had a furnace. So this friend of mine, an artist and sculptor, his name is Michael Thompson, and he lives in Harrison now. And he created, it took him a year to create this sculpture. And it's, like I said, it's a Renaissance scene with columns and so on and so forth. And in dimensional, it's actually to the fourth and fifth dimension, where if a person sits and really looks at this sculpture long enough, you can see all the depth and the dimension that's in it. And it's something that I haven't really spoken about, and I certainly haven't forgot about it, but it's in a space where it's ended up becoming an art storage room. And I'm in the process now of getting it back to where it's the open gallery that it needs to be, where that sculpture can be shown off again.
Things move and change shape all the time, especially at Wind Walker. So I understand. It's like things have to move and change all the time. So what do you see for the future of Wind Walker?
What I see for the future is that, for example, one of our guitar students, his name is Logan Watt. Happens to be Aaron's son, who was the student who mom was sitting and watching Clint Dickerson, who's an incredible music instructor. And when we're doing these guitar lessons, he's teaching six kids at a time. Now, can you even begin to fathom what it would be like as a teacher to teach six children at the same time, ages 10 to 14?
No.
I'll sit in the gallery or watch, and I'll just be in amazement of how he has the ability to be able to instruct in such a understanding, gentle fashion with all of these children. And we teach other classes too. He teaches everything from drums to ukulele to piano. And there was one point where we had 4 8-year-olds that wanted to learn how to play drums all at the same time.
Oh, goodness.
So you ask about our future, and obviously I'm in awe and anticipation of what's to come and what's around the corner. But what I'm focusing on now is the continued development of the children's music and the children's art program. Logan, for example, just this past week, we started there. One of the children that Clint was teaching is 8 years old, and Clint was having a little bit of a tough time getting through to this 8-year old. Logan jumped in and says, "I can help." And he took over and started teaching the 8-year old. And he's about 11 years old. And one of Clint's students. So when you ask about the future is, once again, I revert back to the children and the growth and the development of those children and letting them follow their dreams within inside of Wind Walker. Because as they mature, the more they're going to want to become involved and the more they're going to bring to the party.
Yeah.
So I want to continue in the city. Like I said, the city is so incredibly gracious to allow us to develop and grow at pretty much whatever pace we choose with very few limitations. So I would have to say, Tia, that's where my vision lies, is following the ambitions and the dreams of the people that walk through the door and that continue to walk through the door, because I never know who's going to walk through the door.
True. It's always a blessing when somebody does, because you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, that door is always open, and it's also a very safe place. And I can't stress that enough, is that one of the other most important aspects of Wind Walker is that this is a safe place for anyone to be and develop and feel comfortable in being themselves.
Where can we find you online?
Well, you can find me online at windwalkergallery@yahoo.com.
Okay. That's your email, or is there a website?
The website is yet to be accomplished.
Is there a Facebook page?
We're on Facebook. Okay. And all you have to do to find us on Facebook is just Google Windwalker Gallery. And by Googling on Facebook, it'll give you a very, very long perspective of past and current events. And also, it'll give you a history as to how we've gotten from there to here.
I want to thank you so much, Richard, for spending time with me today and talking about all the history and the joy and the dreams that have been met and being the hero who has made a lot of this possible, almost all of this possible. So again, thank you so much for your work and your heart and your energy and for helping me out by being on my show today. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I hope that I was able to give you some good positive input.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And it couldn't be any better.
Okay, great. Now you can go to editing. Hopefully I didn't go too far off that yellow brick road. Thanks for asking, Tia. And once again, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of what you're doing. And
oh, thank you.
Love your podcast. And God bless you. You're doing an awesome job. And so is Diane and Michigan Art Share. And I'm so blessed to be part of you guys' dream.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're so sweet.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this week on Tia Time with Artist. Make sure to visit our website, tiaviolin.com, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes and never miss an episode. Please leave us a rating wherever you listen to podcasts. We really appreciate your comments and will mine them to bring you more amazing episodes.
I would like to thank this inaugural season sponsors, the folks at Jazz Lines of Bend, Michigan, or JAM. Michigan Art Share, a program of Michigan State University Extension, is a partner in supporting the Tia Time podcast and Sham Bones Music. Without their support, this podcast would not be possible. Thank you so much. If you would also like to contribute to the show, you can find us on patreon.com.
If you want to continue the conversation about topics discussed in the show or start new ones with like-minded people, join us at the Tia Time Lounge on Facebook. Thank you for listening. See you next week at Tia Time.
Thank you for joining us this week on Tia Time with Artist. Make sure to visit our website at tiaviolin.com, where you can subscribe to the show and never miss an episode. Please leave us a rating at Apple Podcasts to expand the reach of the show. We really appreciate that help. And we'd also like to say thank you so very much to our sponsors, Michigan Art Share, a program of Michigan State University Extension, and Cold Plunge Records. And also all of our Patreon supporters. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you. We'll see you next week at Tia Time.